Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's take a second and just to let everybody know, like, something we talk about 10 days ago, we brought up, you know, bad shit happens in Oklahoma in April. And I know last night, I think it was just devastating tornado hit Sulphur. We've got friends in Sulphur, different parts of Oklahoma. So if you were affected by that, our thoughts are with you. We don't pray often, but when we do, we like to think that it means something, and we're praying for you guys. Shout out to Woodall family and everybody in Sulphur out there. Hope that you guys are doing good. Obviously, this is a exciting time for some reasons, and it's a devastating time for other reasons. And we understand Oklahoma in April, it's tough.
Yeah, and definitely thoughts are with those guys and people that we know out there right now. But you know, kind of in the light of the spirit of everything that's going on, my best memory of Sulphur, bro. I gotta tell you this because there's so much meaning to Sulphur for me. So right after high school, you know, Ian and I used to talk about my best friend Ian, who just passed away a couple weeks ago. We used to talk about in high school, we were going to get through high school. And after we got through high school, we're going to go down to Sulphur and get drunk, right? Because you have a great campsite in the middle of nowhere out there in Sulphur. So, but my best friend Ian, he at the time, just before we went on our adventure, he tripped and fell 70 feet, survived, but it took him many years to get better. He was able to live for two decades longer, which is truly incredible. But anyways, Ian and I always planned to go to Sulphur to get drunk. When he fell, I still decided to go. So I went with Jonathan Hawley, old buddy, and Daniel Woodall. And we got our asses handed to us. We got so fucking drunk. And then motherfuckers couldn't keep it a secret, told all their parents, and I got sent to military school. And that was the end of that. So my point about that is, Sulphur's a fucking amazing place, guys. If you ever get a chance in Oklahoma to go through, they've got some great places out there and great campsites to get fucked up at, because nobody really gives a shit because it's Sulphur.
Mm. I've done some stuff in Sulphur I'm going Beautiful. To go ahead and just not admit to right now, and we'll build back on that later. I will say, I think you were like 18 years old and you walked into a gas station and left with a
19.
Yeah. 24 pack or something like that. That was.
I'll be honest with you. Like, it was. I'll tell you what happened. I'm not gonna lie. At this moment, it was pretty baller. At the time, I was 19 years old, and all these friends that like they have been trying to buy liquor, alcohol, all that other stuff, and they just couldn't get successful. So, I came up with this plan to go to a dirty ass motherfucking gas station, right, and just act like I have a 21 year old ID. So. Before he even asked for it, I put it on the counter. I didn't even look at it. It was like, you're good to go. I bought 230 packs of Miller Lite, the champagne, the beer, because that's what it said. And I was like, it has to be good if it's the champagne, the beer, must right?
Be high life, bro.
Threw them on my, yeah, dude. Fucking put them right here, dude. You know what I'm saying? Walked out, and the guys that were with me are like, there's no fucking way. Dude, I there's a few times that you feel like a G in high school, and that was one of those times where everybody talked about it for so long that it was a legendary moment in my life.
Dude, it's kind of like how the Thunder are right now. They're the 19-year-olds walking out of the liquor store, and they've got everybody being like, how the fuck did you rob that place? And I didn't rob it, baby. I didn't fucking rob it. Dude, one time, I got to tell you this real quick, since we're talking about stories like that. I was in New Jersey, and I was buying alcohol. I wanted to buy a different type of brand I'd never tried, so I bought some O'Doul's, right? Which, if you know anything, you know it's alcohol-free beer. So I come back out with my friends, and they're like, what the fuck is that shit? I was like, I want to try something new. They're like, so you bought non-alcoholic beer, bro? So I was like, shit, fuck, shit. Like, that's the only point, right? So I go back in, and I'm like, I need to exchange this, right? And he's like, okay, you know, and I get some St. Pauli girl, right? And as I'm walking out, an undercover cop grabs me and throws me up against the wall, right? Just like immediately, doesn't say anything, right? So I'm like, I'm 21, right? But everybody I'm with isn't. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I'm like, he checks my ID. He says, you're fine. I walk out of the store. And as I'm walking out, I see like six cops like pulling up. They're all coming to get me, right? The cop like indicated to them, we got him, right? And I'm like, fuck, right? I get in the car and there's like five underage kids and they're all have cracked a beer and they're all sitting there drinking the beers that I had left in the car, right? And so like all these cops are like pulling in. Nothing you can do with all these beers. And they literally just let us roll out six beers open as they like come in to bust me. And I'm not even in there, dude. I was like, I'm never fucking hanging out with you losers again.
Dude, man, there's so many good stories about alcohol and minors that we could on to.
They end being a minor myself in jail.
dude, I will say this. I know we spent like 5 minutes talking about this, but
the good stuff.
When I was 21 years old, right, I got pulled over by a cop. And the lady cop pulls me over and said, you're speeding and you have somebody in the back and that's illegal in Oklahoma City. And I looked at her and said, but my uncle is Gary Flatt and he's the chief sheriff for Ardmore. And she's like, I know Gary. Gary is a great guy. Well, you need to slow down and get that person in the back to lay down. Got out of myself a serious ticket because the second she would have realized it, she would have realized I was really fucked up at that moment in my life. And so
we don't know Gary.
Point to that story.
We've never met Gary. We have no idea.
If you have, we don't even know who Gary is. But I Google searched Flats in Oklahoma one day, and I realized that Gary Flatt was a sheriff in Oklahoma. And I was like, dude, I've got to use that sometime to get out of jail. So I did, and it worked. So cheers to me.
All right, dude. We're gonna have to save the rest of our.
Let's talk about the Thunder, bro.
Incarceration because... stories for the future, though. Oklahoma.
Dude, I gotta say, man,
it misses us
watching. Watching the game, bro, I can say this over and over again. It was that killer mentality that just killed the Pelicans, bro. They haven't gotten into the 100, scored 100 points yet in this series. Have we ever seen something like this before where a team that is, I mean, the Pelicans, let me just put this like this. Yes, they don't have Zion, but this is the second best record they've ever had. Second best record they've ever had. Think about that, guys, as a franchise. And we're sitting there and we're like just beating the tar out of them. This is this is crazy shit right now. Like, I don't know what to say, man.
Dave and I got a chance actually to watch the game together for the first time in quite a while. I think we started the podcast 4 years ago now, and I think we've watched less than four games together, maybe five games together now. Went a handful anyway. So that was a pretty cool game to get to watch. We were up in Kent Island, Maryland. So really, really fun time. So cool. And obviously the Thunder getting another W going 3-0 against the Pelicans. People are going to be down on the Pelicans, but I think the Pelicans are actually a more formidable opponent than the Suns. I think a lot of people might resist that because the Suns have more star power. But you look at the camaraderie the Pelicans play with. They're used to playing without Zion. They've been in the play-in without Zion. They understand the environment. What I like a lot about the Pelicans, I'd say they have some of the best wing defenders and wing, like two-way players, really, in the league left as far as wings. Talking Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and even Brandon Ingram. These guys are deep, and we're really manhandling them. And so it's really great to see. You want to see this end in four. We don't want to see it go game five. But getting that win for game three was really critical. We saw Presti standing there. I believe he was thanking the fans who were sitting behind the team after the game for showing up. Presti being the biggest super fan of the Thunder is pretty awesome. We're definitely in a special time. This is what it's all about, man. Like we're staring down the second round, and we can't get past what we're looking at. But on the flip side of it, the Mavs and the Clippers have a three-game series to figure out who we're going to play. What a special series.
Yeah, as long as Kawhi doesn't play, they're good.
I mean, but Dave, Kawhi didn't play, right? And somehow they got up 32.
Second game.
They get up 32 on the Mavs in the first half. Shout out to the Mavs faithful because even down 24, 26 points, they had everybody that I could see in the arena on their feet because they wanted to will their team back into the game. And I'm proud of that. I'm not a fan of the Mavs, but I'm a fan of good fans and fans stepping up for their team in that environment. Amazing. They were able to close the gap. They got the lead. They got the lead with Kyrie Irving being a stud bro, but wasn't enough. The Clippers hit the gas at the end, tie the series up. So we got a 3-game series to find out who we're playing if we do, in fact, finish this out, which I assume we will because no team has ever come back from 0-3.
Yeah, I think this is over as we knew it. But I just want to give – we could talk about Shai all day long. I mean, Shai is just everything you want in a guard, a player. He shot a little bit lower than I like to see him from the field goal this last game, but that was due to the 1-for-5 on three-pointers. Let's just go through Shai real quickly. 24 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals. Mm-hmm. Throw in there a block as well. Just truly incredible what Shai's doing. And the fact is that we didn't need Shai to score all the points last night to get to 100. We just didn't. You look at J-Dub, who has really like captured the hearts of the American people, guys. And I say that in the most delightful way ever, because I've never seen more of a bandwagon on J-Dub than I've seen recently. Whether it's his crazy looking costume that he's wearing or a hat thing that he's wearing that looks like a butthole or whatever that he's doing, people are starting to fall in love with J-Dub on a high, high level. And one of the reasons is because what he's fucking doing right now, 9-for-16, 3-for-4 on three-pointers, and he had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 21 points, man. He is being a monster right now. And then you look on the other side and you say, who else played well? Well, we had a great defender right now. And with Chet, man, what we're seeing out of Chet right now is truly spectacular. He only had 6 points, but we weren't needing the points from him last night. What we needed him to do was make it so it was impossible for them to score when he was in the lane. And he made it impossible. He had 4 blocks that he was counted for. I'm guaranteeing that he had one more. Mark and I both know that. But the reality of what he was able to do and shut everything off coming down the lane was truly great. But my hat is off to one of the best young point guards in the league, and that's Josh Giddey, man. He played truly phenomenal the other night. He had 21 points. He had a steal in there. He had 6 assists. He had 8 rebounds. He was 8-for-13, 4-for-7 from three-point range. God damn, he needed this game so bad, and he came out and on fire. And honestly, that we won by 21, you know? So say what you want, but Josh playing as well as he did and getting the minutes that he did, I mean, he earned every single second. I'm so proud of him, and it was great to see.
Yeah, we talked about this after game one. I feel like that was the only game we really could have lost at this point. But like, what we noticed with this team was that we needed to play better, not just as a, like on an individual game by game basis, but like as a unit, we needed to improve, actually get better as a team to become the team we needed to be. And a lot of that starts with a guy like Josh. And not that he didn't play great, but when he does play great, when he comes out and puts the pressure on and he attacks downhill, he shoots at the ball confidently and he's knocking him down, like, it creates all sorts of matchup issues. I feel like we kind of already know what we're going to get from Dort. You know, Dort, if they leave him open, he's going to make him pay. He was making him pay the other night. But with Josh, so bad. Josh comes out and plays like that, then you're talking about all 5 starters are clicking. All 5 starters clicking at their really best level. I mean, because we know what we're going to get from Chet. You know, sometimes there's like this 6-point game, but it's still like the rim protection, the fact that they have to defend him on the perimeter. They can't leave him alone or he will torch them. He's stretching the defenses. Shai, like everybody in the whole world knows what we're going to get from Shai. J-Dub, you already mentioned he's coming on at a high level. So it really comes down to Dort and Giddey and what they bring us to round out that starting 5, because I really believe that our bench is really well understood. So this is, it's evolving. This team is getting better. And I think as we move on to the next round, there's another level we can evolve to before we're even getting to the point where we're playing at our peak. This team was built to improve during the playoffs. This team is built for their best basketball to continue to be in front of them. So, yeah, like stay alive and see where this goes. Who knows? This is one of those times where the field is wide open for the first time I can remember it.
Man, we played 12 guys the other night. But really, 2 of the guys that stood out to me coming off the bench was Cason Wallace. Really great game. Shot 50% from the floor. got an offensive board, got himself three steals. Just a phenomenal play on the 18 minutes that he did. Think about that. 18 minutes and three steals. I don't know very many rookies that are able to accomplish that. And then the other one, which I have come to the realization that this guy has to be our future sixth man. Just has to. I mean, we could talk about shooting from Isaiah Joe all we want, and he's truly great. But there's one player that truly means Oklahoma City Thunder basketball. It means the heart. It means the leadership. It's everything. And that's Aaron Wiggins, man. He is truly coming out of his shell right now. He had 6 points last night, but it's everything that he's doing. He's hustling. He's confusing defenses because he's cutting behind the defenses, which we don't have a lot of guys that do that. It's so irritating for a coach to see a guy like Aaron Wiggins have success out there. And he's doing it every single game he's playing. And it's truly great to see because out of all the guys coming off our bench, he's one of those guys I want to see in an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform for many, 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 many years.
Yeah, dude, that second quarter, like as it went into halftime, we were able to hit just enough spurt. And it was, you know, something we used to say all the time. You know, you put your foot on their neck. You put a foot on their throat. You know what I mean? And we really did. And it was J-Dub and Isaiah Joe. You know, they knocked down three threes, and I think in like 45 seconds. The game was like a 9 or 10 point game before. And then right after that, like they were going into halftime, feeling that feeling of being swept. And you can try to deny it. You can try to overcome it. You can be like, oh, we're not going to succumb to it. We're going to give it our best shot. But as soon as you start feeling the tide pulling you toward getting swept, there's pretty much nothing you can do about it unless you have LeBron James on your squad and he says, we're not going to fucking get swept. And he goes out and puts up some crazy historic numbers. That's about it. And what we're seeing here right now is this team have a sense of blood being on the water, and they don't want to give a team a second life. They want to end this. They want to sit back and enjoy watching the series unfold as they find out who they're going to play next. It's going to be a bloodbath against the Clippers or the Mavericks, whatever it happens. And if we get fortunate enough to get past that, it's going to be another bloodbath between presumably the Nuggets or the Timberwolves. This is what we wanted the whole goddamn time. This is the NBA playoffs at its very best. This is what we love to see. Players are proven in these environments. So here we go, baby.
This is the most stacked I've seen a West playoff in a long time. I mean, if you think about it, you have three teams that pretty much tied for first place, right? And then you got your middle of your squads, which are, you can't call them chumps, man. You really can't call those teams chumps. You can't say with a straight face, at least. And then you've got your end of the group, which is like the LeBron James, Lakers, and it doesn't even matter. But my point is that I'm looking at this and I'm just saying the Thunder are in a really good point right now to close off the series, to get that killer mentality and killer instinct, get it out there. And then they would have another week break. Like, this is exactly what Mark and I have been saying all along right now, is that a week break for Shea just before the end of the season, right? And then a week break for Shea just after the season. And then if we can close this out, it means another week break for Shea. And if that's the case, we're going to be so healthy going into the series against the Clippers or against Dallas. And everybody knows that this is going to at least six games right now. There's no way it's not going to six games because somebody has to win two more games, and that is game six. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at it like this, is that if they go 1-1 the next two games, right? Like they've evened out the seasons. Now we're at a game seven. This team right here is ready, man. This team will be ready. The Clippers or the Dallas Mavericks will be tired. And that's just the way that's going to go. And to me, that's exactly where this team needs to be because, yes, there are some young guys on Dallas. And yes, there are some young guys on the Clippers. But the majority of the guys are veterans. And when they start getting tired, it starts becoming a disadvantage. And I don't necessarily want a disadvantage for this team. I want them to do the best. But the reality of what we're talking about, this is the fucking playoffs. And if they don't have Zion Williamson and we can sweep them in four games, by a God, I hope we do. So that's what's that saying. Yo, advantage is everything at this moment.
I know we don't talk much about what's going on in the East, but that Knicks series what's happening there right now with Philly.
Write me about it.
Is pretty incredible.
Knicks fans
were able to infiltrate enough seats in Philly to really piss off Joel Embiid and the Sixers and players. Like, it was wow for the Knicks in Philly, and the Philly fans did not like that, or Philly players did not like that either. One, it was pretty incredible game. You saw Brunson go for almost 50, pretty incredible, and just what overall that game represents. I mean, growing up as a new Knicks fan, I don't like the Knicks anymore, but I still have an affinity for John Starks. Seeing him there on the sideline cheering everything down, it's like, all right, man, I still got my Starks jersey, even though I'll never cheer for the Knicks again. Because James Dolan can suck a dick. Dave, that's all I got to say about that.
I'm just glad that, like, when after I said the Knicks were going to be a challenge to the Celtics, I got a little bit of, you know, my friends, you know, right, me being like, ha, you fucking think the Knicks are going to beat the 76ers? And I feel a lot better at this moment. I just do. Because I look at the Knicks and I'm like, they're a team right now, right? They're playing as a team. They got a good, experienced coach. And I'm looking at them. If there is a team in the East that was going to make trouble for the Celtics, it's the Knicks. Because if you look at everybody else, there's just what Milwaukee's going to.
Milwaukee's done.
They're going to. Milwaukee will get swept. I mean, they'll get swept. They get swept.
They won one
by the Celtics. Yeah, so there's one team in the East that can really. Done.
It's like. Roll the
so I'm looking at it like this, and I'm just saying, yeah, like we have got to continue seeing what's happening in the East, because like it's just sad. I mean, it really is just sad. I mean, like the East isn't going to be good for a long time. They might have one or two good teams in the East, but everybody else is not going to be par. And then you look at the West, and you see all these teams that are going to be 50 plus wins in the West, and you start recognizing that these teams are just destroying the East teams, like. Like the West broke down and they started collapsing their teams, 4 or 5 years ago and rebuilding. And that's why they're so strong. And then you look at the East, and the East was just, you know, dominating at that point. And now it's just going to be a domination of the West. It doesn't matter what West team makes it to the championship. It just doesn't, you know, like that's why I want the Thunder to get there, because I think it doesn't matter who we play in the championship if we get there. It doesn't matter if the Clippers get there. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't, because that is how good the West is comparatively. So that's why I'm saying for us, we just got to get to the finals and then we can have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah. What time's the game tonight, Dave? I'm thinking it's 8:30, 9:30 again.
8:30 Eastern.
Nice. So 7:30.
Yeah, dude. I get to go to bed before midnight. So stoked.
Yeah, dude. Me too. So. We'll be back after the game sometime tomorrow. Recap that. Hopefully we're looking on to the semifinals here. We love you guys. We will see you soon.